Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to my home right here in the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. You can see the sun going back behind me as it's going back behind all those buildings there at the Texas Medical Center, which is where I just happen to work. I love being only a couple blocks from work. So when I get out there at 3:30 in the morning, I can't even listen to a full song on the radio. I don't walk. I could walk, but hey, at my age, are you kidding? I drive a couple blocks, but nobody wants to walk in Houston at 3:30 in the morning. But it's just a great place to be at the Texas Medical Center and here in Houston. And just over yonder is the NRG Stadium where the Texans play football. Well, hopefully they'll play football this year. Hopefully they'll be good again. But it's just great to have you. I don't know when I bring my guest in tonight. She may have a hamburger in one hand, a hot dog in another, and a beach ball between the two, because this is Memorial Day weekend. I don't know if she agreed to that or knew that when we scheduled it, but I know it's just going to be great to have you with us. And thank you for giving us a few minutes of your time. I've always said, since we've started doing this, and I think we're going on 6 years or maybe more than that, if you allow a few minutes with us each Sunday night, we're going to try to give you a few things. We're not here to entertain you. America's Funniest Videos is on TV right now, and they're doing like three or four back-to-back because American Idol's off now, so it's finished the season. I was just watching America's Funniest. We're not here to entertain you. We're here to inform you, to help you, to build something up in you, to give you a few things that you can actually put in your tank. In your emotional tank, your intellectual tank, in your spiritual, your relational tank, to be able to help you get through the week a little better. And I think in that intro that Doug or Don or whoever was doing that, that we've used ever since the beginning of the show, it mentions that I travel the country teaching and training people. I'm trying to think where I was at yesterday, North Carolina, maybe, talking to men. This coming week, I'm going to start off in Washington, D.C., then we're going to California, and then I'm going to end up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I can't wait to get there to be able to talk and share. And in that, when I start the day, I just say, hey, God, use me. What experiences I've had, what have I gone through that I can be able to help somebody else go through and help them? And isn't that what life's all about? I tell you, this just came to me. I don't know if it's going to make any sense. Oh, here's one. Okay. We have this bag of chips here, and you know, it's not full. Majority of this is air. I think the chips start right about here, but they claim here on this, you know, that during the settling, the chips may settle, but they sell it by volume. But you know, it's all air. A lot of people is 90% air and there's no substance. I want to end up trying to be a 45-minute substance program. Yeah, we do have some air at the beginning, like what I'm doing now, but I try to get to the point really quick. And when I bring the guest in tonight, which I'm really anxious to hear her words of wisdom with children, because anybody that knows me knows that if I'm ever going to have a tombstone, I want it to say on it, at least he loved kids, because I love kids, making an impact on kids. And I think through my life, I've learned a few things the hard way, the school of hard knocks of what not to do and not to allow to happen to me. And I think there's some things that I want to just share with you in these few minutes, real quick, and I'll go quick, and then we'll get you all back to your picnics. Is don't attach yourself. This is so important. And the older I'm getting, yeah, look at all this gray hair. I just got out of the shower and I didn't put any gel or anything, so you can see actually how gray it is. I'm starting to look like Bob Barker. He turned all white on Price is Right. But the older I get, I'm recognizing that I need to refrain from attaching myself to a person, to a project, to a company, or to an organization. Because any of those four entities can be removed or remove you just like that. I'm 61, getting to go on 62 years old, and I'm recognizing the people are starting to look at me and go, well, it's about time to bring in the young kid. They could probably do my job better, faster, and more efficient, and at half the cost. So I need to start attaching myself to my own personal goals, my own personal calling, my own personal mission, and my God-given purpose. Let me tell you, I love each and every one of you that are listening to the program tonight, but you don't control that, and you can't take that away from me, because it has been given to me by divine power that nobody can come in and tell me, you need to do this. You need to change this. This needs to be what you live for now. Because as, and everybody knows, I won't go into it, about my diagnosis and things, and they're saying, you know, my life's going to be shortened and all that. Baylor College of Medicine, where I work, isn't as important to me as it was 10 years ago, because Baylor College of Medicine is going to keep on going. What really is important to me right now is that I give each day of my life to touch one person, to make an impact on that one person. And I become unstoppable when I work on things that people can't take away. My character, my personality, my values, my integrity, my love. Nobody can take that away. And I need to stop telling myself, because I've played this game, and I can't wait to get our guests in here tonight, because words are so impactful. I keep hearing up here, and this tells you my age. In the old VCR days, when you used to be able to loop VCRs and you had these big old cartridges that just would loop over and over, all of those things that my dad would tell me that would degrade me, that would knock me down. And I need to stop telling myself that I'm not qualified, that I'm not good enough, or that I'm not worthy, because I am. And I have discovered in the last few years, and it took me 58, 59 years to discover it, that growth happens when I give really true growth inside of me, happens when I start doing things that maybe I'm not qualified to do, but I do them anyway. Because in that, God's not really concerned about ability as he is about availability. So here I am. Use me. When somebody calls, like the talk that I did yesterday, they called me the week before and said, hey, we got this new thing we're doing on Saturday morning for men only. Would you be willing to talk about a subject? And he gave me a subject. He said, Greg, is this even a subject? And I said, I don't know. But I studied it all week and did a presentation on it. And we found out that passive trauma is something that we call passive aggressive, but is something that is really impactful. And in that, I learned a whole bunch of things, but it wasn't the fact that I was a pro on it. It was the fact that I made myself available. And in that, I learned some things, and then I just shared with the group of how it has impacted me. And a few tips, and then we're going to get off here and just let our guest talk. Some tips I want you to know. We need to learn to probably react less. We need to also learn how to control ourselves and not others. That's huge. We need to stop telling people everything that's on our mind because some people don't care. They act like they do, but in reality, they don't. And we need to choose people in our inner circle. And let me tell you, my inner circle is really small. We need to choose people and friends who inspire you, who encourage you, who will be there through thick and thin, with you being you, not who you think they want you to be. And then expect nothing but appreciate everything. And last word. You have survived. I have survived so many storms in life. Don't be bothered by a few raindrops because the storms didn't kill us. I know the raindrops won't. We need to look and appreciate what we have outside, appreciate the beautiful sunset, and appreciate this darkness that's getting ready to go down through this blue sky here shortly. By the time our guest is done speaking tonight, it will be pitch dark outside these windows, and you'll see the night. I love that. But I know, and I promise you, that tomorrow morning, that sun's going to rise, and that light's going to be there, and we're going to get through another day, and it'll be Memorial Day. Thank you for being with us tonight. If you want to get involved, there's several different ways you can do that. I would really prefer you just call me, 888-627-6008. You can talk to Thomas, TJ, right there at the radio station. Him with that great radio voice will patch you right on through to us and our guests tonight. We don't pre-qualify the calls. We don't screen them. We just bring you in and let you share a comment or a question that you have of our professional guest. We have people that have written books that are pros, and tonight is no exception. Or you can text me at 832-396-6525. Yes, that's my personal cell phone number. Text me, and during the show, I will look down to see if I have any texts. I've already had several texts this morning or this afternoon. And then you can get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page, which is right here. We are live. You can comment on there. But whatever it is, don't just sit quiet. If you have a thought or a comment or a question, jump in, join in on the conversation. Tonight, we have an author, which I love authors, but we have an author of children's books, which I love children's books. Catherine, and remember this name, and you may want to jot it down, Davis Gibbon is an award-winning children's book author. She is also, listen to this, a publisher. And in the middle of all that, she's a certified yoga and Pilates teacher. But in the middle of that, she is a mother of two Generation Alpha kids. And then one of my first questions, TJ, bring her on in so we can see her and her face. One of the questions I'm going to ask you right up front, Catherine, is what's a Generation Alpha child? But she founded River Let Press in 2021 as a platform to be able to have books that illuminate, that enrich children's inner life, not just entertain. Danny the Dinosaur is my favorite book when I was a child. I don't think it ever taught me anything. It just knew that Danny had a dinosaur. But she wants something that enlightens and draws them. Her debut book, My Old Friend Then, received praise from everybody around the country, around the world, that this is one of the most awesome books. And she has a new book that is out called Words. Without going into this unbelievable resume, because it'd take the rest of the hour, let's bring in Catherine Davis Gibbon. Catherine, thank you for sharing your Memorial Day weekend with us tonight. Good evening. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm so touched that you wanted me to come on your show. Really honored to be here. So thank you.
Well, I tell you, it's hard to be an author, is it not? You're, let's face it, you're the boss, you're the publisher, you're the one that chooses which books you publish. It's hard to be able to write and let motivate people to pick up that book and buy it. What inspired you to want to be able to put words on a page and then words on a page that touch children's lives?
So I've always really known that I wanted to write. There's just no question. I just have an affinity for words. Words have always touched me. And when I was a child, I was really kind of shy. I think I was kind of awestruck by the power of words. Just really, really moved. And had such respect for words that I used them carefully. I'd like to think judiciously, but I was a little locked up too, you know? And it's funny because when I got out of college, I had majored in dance. The movement really kind of helped unlock me. And I was sort of facing this decision of like, well, I've always known I want to write, but this movement, just movement is so healing to me personally right now. What do I do? What am I supposed to do with my life here? And I just made a very pragmatic decision of like, you know, right now I'm young, I'm healthy, my body works, move. And when I'm older, my body doesn't work as well, but I'm probably wiser. And have learned a thing or two, then all right. So I was a dancer, I was a choreographer, I opened a Pilates studio, I taught yoga, that got me into mindfulness. Then I started my family and was sort of waiting, you know, I was savoring my time with my girls, but also kind of, you know, excited to get started with writing. I'd started a book before they were born, but that then went very much on hold for a long time, as I'm sure you can appreciate. And it was funny because I was just about to find some time for myself in 2019. My youngest started preschool, and I gave her time to, you know, get used to it. She's super social, but I had been with her 100% up to that point, so there was a little transition involved, and then she got used to it, and she was like, ah, full days, and you know, really into it. And so 2020 began with me thinking, I'm gonna pick up that book I was writing back when, you know, before my first was born. And we all know what happened in early 2020. So I lost school, I lost playgroups, I lost ballet, gymnastics, music, art, horseback riding, I mean, you name it, we lost it. And I was right back in full time, even more full time with my kids, because now I had to homeschool my older one, she has a little bit of like attention stuff, and it's really, you know, she needs quiet to focus. And then I have my little one who just talks all the time. And so it was like really bad combination, and I'm in the middle. And I just realized that I was feeling moved to write for kids. And it was sort of two things. One thing was I had been in their world for over 10 years at this point. So I've come to understand a lot about how you talk to kids, how you explain things to them, you know, things that are complicated and subtle and hard to really understand without firsthand experience, how you break that down through a child's perspective. So it's accessible to them, it's relatable to them, and it's meaningful to them. So I sort of had all of that in me, and I was spending all my time with kids, literally at that point. And then the other side of it was just, it's a lot easier to write a children's book than it is to write, you know, a 300-page, creative nonfiction book. So I wrote the first one in the middle of the night on my phone while I was nursing my daughter. And I woke up the next morning and I was like, that was awesome. I'm just gonna keep doing this. And it's funny because all the things that I moved to write about are a little deeper, a little more profound, as you said, pertaining to the inner life. These are not alphabet books. These are not let's teach you your animals. These are really about ideas and values. And but I was just finding like in some ways it's easier and in some ways it's harder, but it's amazingly cool to take something that conceptual and turn it into something that a child can understand. And I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. So I just kept writing and writing and writing. And the more that I wrote these children's books, some of them I'm just not gonna publish, but I kind of know when I have a good one. I just realized, you know what, I'm just gonna start this publishing company because not only will that give me a lot of creative control, but also, I mean, I really have a unifying mission in the type of book that I want to put out. It's the type of book that I was looking for, frankly, as when I was, when my kids were a little bit younger and I was looking for books, it's like for to read to them. I love, love, love Mother Goose and I love Good Night Moon. I mean, I love these books with all that I am, but there is another kind of book that I wished was out there that didn't treat them like a mini adult, but did honor their capacity for wisdom. Because I think they have that. I think they have the capacity. It's different the way that, the way they frame things, of course, is different. But that doesn't mean I think kids really have a strong sense of knowing right from wrong, truth from untruth. I mean, they really do have a capacity, like kind of a purity about their perspective. And so I was really trying to speak directly to that.
So when you write a book, for instance, My Old Friend Then, do you start off, Catherine, with the concept that you're wanting them to learn something in the process of reading this book, or you're just wanting them to experience something and then let them decide how to process it? Because we know, I mean, all this political stuff and all these things happening in all these big schools in California and all these different wild places where they're trying to, promote different things and issues and in a children's book. To me, that's not the place for that. I think the place for that is with the parents, values and all those things. But is it to just have them experience something and then say how would they've done it? Tell me what that mindset is when you, like my old friend then, what are you trying? And if you want to hold that book up, I want people to see these beautiful, beautiful books. That's my old friend then. And look at all the awards on the front of that. I've never had a sticker on the front of any of my books, but hopefully one day I will. And then the other one's words. This is a beautiful, beautiful cover. And words is in the leaves there. Wonderful. Okay. So what is your goal when a child picks up a book that goes, ah, that's exactly what I want them to experience? What is that?
So, with both of these books, it's really a kind of an intimate sharing,
Intimate sharing.
from mind to mind. So I don't like to, as I said, this is different than treating a child like a mini adult. The language is child appropriate, accessible language and fun, frankly, fun language. The sort of scenario, the setup, it's really about friends. Friends are always the metaphor in both of these books, in a sense, for the message, because that's what little ones value so closely is family and friends. With friends, they have more choices they can make. They can make good choices. They can make choices that are going to be a little harder on them. And they can work with the choices that they've made. But there is a message, there is a sharing of just on a human level that has nothing to do with age, because I'm still learning these same lessons from both of these books. With my old friend Ben, the lesson is it's really about your attention, where you put your attention really determines your life. You can put your attention onto then in the past, or then in the future, or you can put your attention into now and kind of include your old friend then. That's who then is in this book. Include then, include the past, include the future, but hold it right now. So it's basically a story of friendship and the choices you make with sort of what you give your time and energy to, what you give your attention to. I don't know if I should talk about two books at once. That's really a mind. It's really sort of a basic introductory mindfulness book for kids, told through the metaphor of friendship, because that's what they can relate to. That's what they can understand. Every kid has had that experience of, having an old friend, and maybe you're outgrowing them a little, or maybe you're so close that you're almost like siblings now. So you kind of, you butt heads a little bit, you bicker a little bit. And then a new friend comes in your life and they're kind of, shiny and new. How do you integrate that all together? Your old friend is really tied into who you are in terms of your history. They know all your stories. They know you on a certain level, but that almost stops them from knowing you right now on another level. So, yeah, it's sort of a sharing. It's mindfulness is a lifelong endeavor. So,
In a nutshell, Catherine, what is mindfulness from your point of view? Because everybody's talking about mindfulness, self-care, things of that order. What for you, just in the, we got about a minute for the break. What is mindfulness from your point of view, and how do you relate to that?
mindfulness, it has to do with being fully present in the moment. So, if you're eating a muffin, you got muffin mind. If you're listening to someone, you're actually listening. You're not already planning what you're going to say back. You're actually listening to them. It's really inhabiting and being fully present in the moment, which is incredibly hard to do. Easy to say, hard to do.
Have you, because when you mentioned that, I immediately think, well, here I am interviewing you. With the interviews that you've done, does it not just get your goat when somebody is doing an interview like this and they're not paying attention? They have the list of all the questions. They're waiting for you to pause so they can throw out the next question instead of saying, wait, I just heard you. Let's chase that rabbit for a second. What's that mean to you? Or, do you see how good people and bad people are in that interview process? Because, man, and we do this through life, do we not?
Exactly. Everywhere, not just in interviews. I mean, it's in every conversation, people you know, people you don't know. We're constantly dipping in and out, right?
Yeah, and I just think it's so important to give them, because I think that's probably the best gift we can give anybody is not a present, but it's our presence,
Our attention.
being there, and in that, because time is one thing that we never get back. So when you give that true presence, wow, you really show them how much you care, because it's important. Tell you what, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a little short. It's about a minute and 15 seconds. We're going to talk about on the other side of this, how important are the words. And what this latest book that Katherine Davis Gibbon felt was needed to be addressed in her latest book, Words. Be with us right back. 888-627-6008. Give us a buzz, and we'll see you just on the other side of this commercial.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, Learning How to Turn Life's Pain into Life's Power and Purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
Alrighty, welcome back. Amazon will be having the new version. I got the rights back to my original book. I believe it comes out in July, because you have to wait so many days before Amazon releases it. But it's on there. You can buy it now, but I don't know what store you're buying it from, because it's like $20-some. Don't buy it. Wait till it comes out in the latest version with the since I got the rights back from HCI Publishing. And Embracing Your Scars is going to be on there shortly as well. So we'll have three books out at the same time. In your publishing world, Catherine, do you recognize that some books are just something you don't want to be involved in? Do you actually read other people's manuscripts and then publish their books, or only yours?
No, I'm at the moment, with everything that's going on, I'm just trying to put out a series of books that kind of fulfill the mission of my company. I'm open, you know, if I meet my kind of children's author soulmate out there, you know, then I'm open to working together, but I'm not actively looking for other manuscripts now.
When you mentioned early on in your childhood that you were kind of shy, timid, kind of inward, was books important to you? I mean, books was my life when I was growing up. I would read the cereal box. I'd read the everything that I could get my hands on, I was reading. Were you the same way? And then when you did that and you discovered dance, was that the way to express the emotions and the feelings that you had from being shy? So I know there's two different questions there, but how important was reading? And then we'll talk about the dance part, but to you growing up.
So reading and actually song lyrics. And just communications. I was just a really deep feeling child. And I think also my dad has a little bit of like speech and language issues. Like it takes him a while to get his thoughts out, and he stutters a little bit. And so many people would cut him off, and that really upset me. And it was really important to me to like, let the man speak. So I just kind of learned, you know, even though sometimes I felt impatient with it, I just learned, like, you just wait. You wait, you listen. And those pauses, you know, you can use those to self-reflect on how you're taking in what is being said to you. I was a listener. I was really a listener. And I took a lot in, and I felt it very deeply. And books were really important to me, especially I would say from like fourth grade on, really important to me. So, but there was the, you know, starting to move my body was really helpful in just kind of loosening things up and feeling more free, I guess, more freedom to share.
When you started expressing yourself in dance, Did you notice that it was opening up doors of you communicating with people also on the other side when the music was off? Did it help you express that way too?
It did. Yeah. I mean, I think, I always had friends, and I was always, I loved my girlfriends. Like, I always had friends, but I think just, kind of like the things that you hold closer, the things that are more heavier. Those things I was just very careful with. And yeah, when I started moving, I feel like I just kind of unlocked some of the caution, the vigilance, the concern, and just found a little more freedom, with people for sure. I mean, it was just such a long, slow process. Certainly, I know there's some abuse in your background. There was some abuse in my background, not my parents, but some psychological abuse from adults. And I think that also, made me even more cautious, right? But I was cautious before that even started. So, then I was then I then I then I really crossed the line to vigilance, So yeah, there's just this really slow, gradual kind of unwinding of the vigilance, and now I feel great. Now I feel really, most of the time, like it's easy to share, and it just comes from such a well-intentioned place that, it just feels good.
Wonderful. So after my old friend then obviously got accolades and applause and awards from around the country with some big organizations. And then you say, I think I'll do another one. Why did you choose words and what was you trying to accomplish by expressing to the children, hey, this is what words are all about? What's the goal when you started to pen that second book? Is that your second book?
No, actually, and my old friend then was my first. They're all I wrote a bunch all at once in during the pandemic, and my old friend then was the first one that I felt was it was just like, this is it. Like, they're just like, no regrets. Like, this is it. This is what I want to share, and I think this is good enough. Now, another one that I wrote at shortly after, a few months after that, I felt I had strong feelings about was words, but it wasn't good enough yet. So I had to come back to it a year later, 2 years later, and take it to the next level. In between, so I've written and fully illustrated two books that I am not putting out because they're just not good enough. So everything is out of, the creative process, and then what I roll out, they don't line up so neatly like that. But words was one, very much like my old friend then. It kind of rushed out, and it had that same feeling of an intimate sharing, mind to mind, having nothing to do with age. Really, it's about finding your voice. It's about how you relate to words and finding your voice. So in this book, the story follows this diverse group of children. They discover a park where words quite literally come to life. So the words that people are saying or thinking or, seeing, experiencing, they become illustrated, interactive characters in a story. So at that point, children are not just using words, they're relating to words as characters, as just like people that they would meet. Just like people, not every word is going to make the perfect first impression, right? Like, some words are immediately friendly, warm, inviting, like, ooh, fast friends. And some words, they're a little pushy. They might be a little prickly. They might be off-putting in some way, or just overwhelm you or freak you out. Not every word makes the best first impression, just like not every person makes the best first impression. But the thing is, just like with people, sometimes we're surprised by who we become friends with. Or sometimes, the person that we just never, we don't get that person and that person doesn't get us. Well, the certain set of circumstances come to pass and you are in sync for a little while, working together towards something or just a certain game two kids just happen to vibe into each other through. And it's the same way with words, is that I don't want kids to feel that words are the realm of adults or their older siblings, teenagers, bullies at the park, whatever. I don't want kids to think that words belong to other people and not to them. I want kids to make friends with words and all the words, even the words that are scary, even the words that you're like, when you first hear it, you're like, oh, I don't want anything to do with that. I want kids to befriend all of those words, because the more they let those words in, the more words become a resource to them in their whole life, in every situation. I would love for words, kids to feel like words are their confidants. They can confide in, they can trust, they can share those intimate things with their teammates. Words are going to have their back in situations. And most importantly, their teachers. Words are going to pose questions to them, make them reflect, make them self-reflect and learn and grow. So that's what words are to me as a writer, and that's really the message I wanted to share with kids.
You are obviously a generation or two younger than me. I grew up in the era where there wasn't cell phones, there wasn't computers.
Oh, same. Yeah.
Do you think that the technology that we have now, which is the highest, most efficient communication ability that we have to communicate around the world with people, do you think it affects the way we truly communicate and use words today? And how does that process into a life of a child? Because at 5 years old, they're LOLing.
Yep.
And we don't even know what LOL sometimes means. I get those little abbreviations like, what are you trying to say to me? Just tell me. How do you think technology has affected real communication of real words in children's lives today?
That's just the best question, and I think it's affected them profoundly. I too, when I was growing up, there were no cell phones, there was no personal computers, there was no online shopping, there was no tap and go, there was no self-checkout, there was none of that. So anything, if I wanted anything when I was a kid, I had to walk out the door, go get on the city bus, pay my fare, which was a paper and coin. There was no tapping happening. Be on this bus with all these other people, get off this bus, walk down a city street, go into a store, ask for what I wanted, communicate and converse with someone who was there to help me, thank them, and go back home. That is incredibly different than what kids are growing up with today. So, it's interesting because, everyone, I think, is sort of in agreement, pediatricians and, therapists, kids therapists, that children's social development has kind of taken a hit. And so many people blame it on the pandemic, which definitely exacerbated the issue, right? Because, they lost their school, they lost their activities, what their chosen, extracurriculars are things that they invest themselves into and care about. Their circle of friends certainly shrunk. It may have disappeared for a period of time, and this went on for over a year. I mean, it's different places, but, it went on for quite a while. And, Yeah, I think people, point to that and say, okay, well, that was the cause. But really, pediatricians were sounding the alarm bells a full decade before COVID came, saying, hey, everyone, social media is taking a toll on kids, and it's interesting to me because I don't think the little kids are on there so much, but it's like a virus that it's like because adults are and teenagers are, and it's changing the way everyone communicates. And that kind of gets under your skin, and I think it translates out into the way people talk to each other and treat each other. And that's what's being modeled for little kids. So, it's crazy because like the technology is enabling us to have this conversation right now, and that's so cool, right? But there's the dark side to it too.
Yeah.
And I think there's so many layers and levels to that, if you were to go on a social media platform, there would be some, you'd see a post from someone, and right below that is an invitation to comment, and almost like a pressure, a little bit of pressure to comment. And even if you don't want to comment, you might be kind of reacting to what you saw. And then even if you have a positive reaction to what you saw, the first comment might be really mean, and that might make you mad. And so then you want to comment to that comment. And I think it's kind of it's like a virus, it's got everyone kind of blurting stuff out and oversharing without really processing. And also this sorry, I'm just really going off now, but
Oh no, this is good because my mind's going crazy. This is so
yeah,
many
because
good
my mind's
points.
crazy too. I think also just this whole kind of culture of texting and tweeting and trying to express something in such a short number of characters, there's sort of a disregard, obviously, for spelling and grammar and punctuation and syntax, but I feel more fundamentally this kind of acceptance or normalization disregard for the formulation of a thought. Formulating a thought actually takes time. It actually, I mean, a good one anyway, like, because you gotta think it through. You gotta ask yourself the questions, and that's what I love about the writing process, is, I have an idea, or I have maybe just a motivation, and I start to write it, and I'm like, I didn't really get it there. That's not really it. And so I rewrite it, and I keep, and I'm like, I just can't get this. And then finally, I'm like, oh, I got it, I got it, I got it. And it's like, that's when I've processed it fully enough to the point where I think it really is going to make sense to someone else. It's not just about me and my motivation and just this feeling this impulse I had. It's like, how do I connect that to the reader? How do I connect with them? And that is not what commenting is. And a lot of times I think people are so rushed with the texting, and I love texting as a mom. It makes my life very easy, like to like negotiate with other families and all that stuff. But
Yeah.
if you're gonna say anything that you're serious about, I mean, anything other than should we meet here or should we, that kind of stuff, it's like you gotta think it through, you gotta think it through. And it's very helpful to have that person's face in front of you.
Yeah.
Very, So anyways, I think it's had a profound impact on kids, and that was really something that was it meant a lot to me in writing the book, that I really want kids to get, like, words are not weapons, words are not shields, and words are not conveniences. Like, words matter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. And when you started mentioning you would have to get on the bus, you'd have to go, I automatically was starting to think, it took me back to my childhood. We went to the, we went to town every Saturday. and you had Woolworth, the dime store, the nickel and dime stores, and you went in there to buy certain things. If you wanted paint, you had to walk down to the paint store. If you wanted a vacuum cleaner, you had to walk down to the vacuum cleaner store. If you wanted stationery, you had to walk across the street to the stationery store because there wasn't a one-stop shop. Now it's all, and you miss the experience of recognizing how true and fun and complete it was to experience everything in its fullness. When you selected where the child was going to, and we only got a minute or two, was going to experience words, I think picking a park was brilliant because if you do it in your living room, if you do it in your bedroom, people don't know what it's like to go out into nature
Right.
anymore. Was that a deliberate, I wanted to be there because of the impact of what the surroundings have on the children?
Absolutely. I mean, I think parks are just the loveliest experience for kids, and it's utterly universal. They're free. You know, you don't
Yeah.
have to be high income to, attend a park. You know, you just walk out the door and you go there. And it's a place where you really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it's improvisation in real life. It's just
With your own imagination. Right? I mean, it's your own imagination. You're not going to Disney and letting Walt Disney tell us how his imagination wanted us to experience. We get to let our experience explode from within us at a park. And I
exactly.
love that.
Yeah, and it's co-create. You co-create with whoever happens to be there, you know?
Yeah.
What, it's dogs, it's adults, it's, a homeless person, it's kids, it's, whatever it is, that's what it is. It's rain or it's sunshine, it's like, that's just the magic of being a child and, a real life experience. So that's what I want it to be, is they kind of go to this park and they're like, whoa, and they're noticing, these word characters coming into play. And, having good reactions or negative reactions, but the more time they spend together, the more they kind of realize, like, I could connect with any word, I could connect with any person.
Great. We got to land the plane here because time's almost out. I want you to hold up both books. It's Katherine Davis Gibbon, and there's words. And here comes my old friend, then. You can get them right on Amazon. You can get them on your webpage. If somebody wants to get in contact with you, what's the best place for them to get a hold of these books, Katherine? And what's your preference? Because there's all kinds of places to get them. But what would be best for you and the customer?
So I would encourage everyone to go to my website. So it's www.riverletpress. So it's riverlet, L-E-T, press.com. You can press the contact button if you want to reach out to me. I love talking to people. I love talking to parents, librarians, teachers. I've created some programming that I do in schools and bookstores and libraries where I do a reading of the book and we talk about some social emotional issues, and then we play literacy based games. And I would love to share that with anyone that I can get to. And I am traveling a lot this year, so you never know where I'm going to be. So just reach out, just contact me. And I also have on my website a resources tab that has some resources for caregivers. Including my five golden rules for kind, effective communication,
Ooh.
classroom activities for pre-K and kindergarten, and then separate ones for grades 1 and 2. And there's also a where to buy page where you can just find any, look for the retailer that's good for you. So, yeah.
Fantastic. And these are books that teachers should have in their classrooms and share with their kids, reading the to them, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I get a lot of testimonials from teachers, counselors, and librarians. So please come to riverletpress.com, find a place to buy the book, reach out to me. Let's talk. Let's try to put a program together at your school, your library, whatever, your playgroup.
Fantastic. Catherine, thank you for being with us. Riverletpress.com. Catherine Davis Gibbon, an author. Two awesome books. You want to get a hold of them. And then apparently she illustrated them too. I could not have ever illustrated my books. It would have been stick people because I
Well,
can't draw at all.
I draw the stick people and I give it to professional illustrators and then they turn it into
There
something.
you go. That's the way to do it. Well, thank you for sharing your Memorial Day weekend. Tell your family thank you for sharing. And I hope you have a great anytime you want to come back. I honestly, thoroughly enjoyed our conversation because we had no preset direction to go. We just communicated and it was absolutely awesome. You shine tonight, Kathy.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and I'd love to come back anytime.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Like
Okay.
we do each and every week right here before we close out, I always want to let you know, no matter what you're experiencing tonight, no matter how dark it's getting back here behind you or in your own life, no matter what's going to happen tomorrow morning on Memorial Day, maybe everything's going to just explode with the family. We hope not. But if it does, I want to let you know, huddle up, listen in, lean in. Number one, I think that's a good lesson right there. Lean in to other people. This world is filled with people that automatically lean away. Lean in, open your heart, and never forget there's always hope. There's always hope with you and with others. Don't throw them out with the dirty dishwater. There's always, always hope. Give it a chance. Thank you for being with us. Join us right here next week, Houston, Texas, for another live edition of Breaking the Silence. Have an awesome and safe Memorial Day. And please remember what it's about. People sacrificing their life to allow us to enjoy the freedoms of being able to write a book for children and then publish it and put it out on the market. That's what lives were given for in our country. And we need to defend that and we need to stand by that. And when we see that American flag raised, we live in the most awesome country in the world. God bless you. Enjoy your Memorial Day holiday. Be safe. God bless. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832 396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.